I like the idea that joy is tender, as our last wisdom piece suggested. It is definitely tender in the conversations I have with nurses on the pediatric intensive care unit. Joy is tender in the rooms where families balance between the highs and lows surrounding their child's care. I found joy to be tender in the parish work I did as well, especially in leading small groups during COVID. It was evident in all of these instances when I would ask the question, "Where did you find joy today?" Many would have to pause to think what joy meant and where it might be found. Thus, the question posed back to me by a nurse, "Why is it so hard to access joy?" I wondered with the nurse, and I wonder with you now, if joy is hard to access because we think it is separate from all we might be witnessing or feeling that is hard or difficult. Suffering, according to Buddhist tradition, is part of the human condition. Because we are human, we will suffer, and we will witness the suffering of others. In the Book of Joy, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama have a discussion about the obstacles to joy. In that discussion, they determine suffering can either embitter or ennoble us. The difference is whether or not we're able to find meaning in our suffering. In my logical mind, I understand what they are saying and completely agree. Suffering has meaning, and it is up to us to figure out what that meaning has to offer our life. However, when I drop down to my heart space, and in the midst of that suffering with others or my own, I have no patience for trying to make meaning out of suffering. It's too hard, and it's too heartbreaking. And yet there are moments, even in the midst of suffering, when the tenderness of joy appears. When the mom, who has been separated from her baby for weeks due to the medical equipment keeping that baby alive, finally gets to hold her baby. When parents who have watched their child suffer through treatment after treatment after treatment get to see their child's spark come back. When nurses who have been caring for a patient get to see that patient go home. There are so many examples in parish and chaplain work that I have witnessed where joy is in the midst of suffering. William Blake sums it up best in the beginning lines of one of his poems by saying, "Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine." Joy and suffering are so intricately related that in order to experience the depth of one, you have to know the other. Archbishop Tutu suggests nothing beautiful comes without suffering. We have only to remember his story in our wisdom of the birth of a child, or the many ways nature has created beauty out of suffering. This was evident when, to me, after visiting areas devastated by wildfires. We also see this in the social action movements, the art that was created in the Black Lives Matter marches and movements across the country were amazing to view. If joy is present in suffering and basically with us at all times, what obstacles exist that prevent us from accessing it? Some say it is a matter of perspective and that we just need to focus our minds. I don't know about you, but focus is not something I do very well in the midst of suffering. With that said, there are certain perspectives that make the suffering even harder. If we isolate ourselves and step out of community, it is harder to access joy. If we focus on what we do not have rather than what we have to be grateful for, then it is harder to access joy. If we are jealous of others because they are doing better than us, then it is harder to access joy. If we think we are going to avoid suffering and do all we can to not experience it, then it will be harder to access joy. I think of the Disney Pixar movie Inside Out. It's a movie all about our emotions, and one of the major themes was everyone trying to avoid sadness, especially joy. In the end, in order for the main character to move into a different stage of understanding about their situation, they needed to be able to see both sadness and joy in the memories. We lose sight of joy when we try to make it part of an either-or equation, when we try to separate it from the suffering we are experiencing. Our world is so full of either-or thinking, we forget some of our richest, deepest experiences are so complex and so full of many emotions that in order to fully embrace them, we have to see them in a both-and lens. In this work I do as a chaplain, I'm starting to think this intricate relationship between joy and suffering is what makes it bearable. Joy is what helps ease the suffering and gives us a moment to breathe, especially in those moments where suffering is immense. I'm reminded of being by the bedside of my father while he was dying and playing some of his favorite music. He kept requesting this song by Johnny Cash called "Ghost Riders in the Sky." And to me, it was a pretty loud and joyous song. And then at one point, he said to us, we were being too loud and needed to quiet down. We started laughing because he was the one requesting the music. We were able to breathe a little easier during that time, and we turned the music down. Joy is found in the stories shared during times of suffering. Parents love to talk about their children and show pictures, and this is how I ease their suffering by reminding them of the joy of their child. They share pictures of the collections of stuffed animals or Barbie dolls, the sports teams they love to watch. And when these are shared, breathing becomes a little easier and hope becomes a little more possible. At this point, I want to pause and ask you to take a moment to think of when you have experienced joy in the midst of suffering. Hold on to it for a moment. Do you remember the feeling in your body before and after joy entered? Do you remember what joy opened up for you in that moment? In our second wisdom quote, Robin Wall Kimmerer reminds us that by choosing joy in times of suffering, we are not sticking our heads in the sand. Instead, we are cherishing what we do have. By doing this, we are able to continue in our lives. We are able to continue in our suffering. We are able to continue witnessing the suffering of others. We are able to make the suffering just a little more bearable. Another way to access joy is through a Buddhist concept called mudita. The term recognizes joy is limitless and invites us to rejoice in the good fortune of others. We can experience joy as we do love and justice with abundance. Just as love expands when we decide to love more, so does joy. In the Book of Joy, this explanation is shared for how mudita works. Quote, if someone has something that we want, say a bigger house, we can consciously take joy in their good fortune by telling ourselves, good for them. Just like me, they too want to be happy. They too want to be successful. They too want to support their family. May they be happy. I congratulate them and want them to have more success. Mudita recognizes that life is not a zero-sum game, that there is not just one slice of cake in which someone else's taking more means we get less. Mudita is based on the recognition of our interdependence. End quote. We cultivate our ability to ensure joy expands by recognizing in our shared humanity. It is this type of joy that allows us to sustain our justice movements, to unite with others, to break down the barriers that divide us. Audre Lorde states, the sharing of joy, whether physical, emotional, psychic, or intellectual, forms a bridge between the sharers, which can be the basis for understanding much of what is not shared between them and lessens the threat of their difference. End quote. Joy is a threat to those who want to oppress, who want to separate, who want to promote fear. Joy is radical in the way it brings people together, especially when we can see it as limitless and abundant. When joy is limitless and abundant, it provides energy for a change. So I invite you to take a moment to think of a time when you witnessed joy provide energy for change. What form did it take? Who was involved? What change happened? In Jack Gilbert's poem, A Brief for the Defense, he writes, "If we deny happiness, resist satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of this world. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil." By removing the limits to joy and celebrating the joy of others' well-being, we remove the power from those who try to keep joy small and scarce. Therefore, we need to not just seek joy in suffering, we also have to be creators of joy. We cannot just sit around and wait for joy to appear. We have to find ways to cultivate it in our lives and the lives of others. For when we do this, we not only feed into the abundance of joy, we also make it easier for us to access joy when we are in the midst of suffering. We remove the obstacles to joy by realizing it does not exist without suffering and by knowing it helps bring meaning to the suffering. We remove the obstacles to joy when we reach out to others in our suffering and make connections in our sharing. We remove obstacles to joy when we know we all suffer. And when any of us are experiencing joy, it is a tender moment to be cherished and celebrated. And yes, it may help us to adjust our perspective, but only when we are ready. And the meaning making is happening whether we are aware of it or not. It will be there when we want to take it up and understand it. William Blake ends his poem about joy and woe with these lines. "It is right. It should be so. We are made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go." And so I offer you the question to ponder as we close our time together to possibly share during our dialogue after the service. Where have you found joy in your life?